And that is a very, very good question. How could we possibly fear when we have Jesus? Amen. And if you're here today and you don't have Jesus, I would encourage you to trust him as your Savior before you leave this place. And you could say the same thing. Sad to say, there are probably Christians here that, I wish I wasn't so fearful. Get a walk with Jesus. Get back with Jesus. Get right with Jesus. Whatever you need to do, he's got it under control. We just finished another lesson in Revelation. And we have one more point, and then we're on the last lesson. But we've already known the end of the story.
Amen.
Amen. We win. Amen. And when it's over, it's over. And praise the Lord, we win. He has everything totally under control. Well, in this passage, we see his control again as he uses two of his servants, Peter and John. All they are is instruments, but he is the power behind the instruments, and we see a lame man healed. But what I want to talk to you about is the way God calls him here, or what God calls him here in verse 2, and that's our text. It says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Ha! They had no idea what was going to happen. They had no idea. They thought, you know what? If he holds out his cup, he might get some change so he can get a meal. He might just get enough so he can pay his light bill, you know? He might get enough so that he can, make that payment on his chariot or whatever. Actually, he wouldn't have a chariot because they're carrying him around. He can't walk. They hope that maybe he'll just get to hear the clanking of some change in the tin cup. Well, boy, the story is a whole lot different, isn't it? And you know what? There's certain people all around. I call your attention to the word certain here. A certain man, a certain lame man is what I want to talk to you about this morning. A certain, who is this guy? The Bible doesn't say who he is. Just says he's a certain man. Could be anybody. Could be a certain person. Could be anyone. This story could be told over and over and over again. Could be told about a certain person coming to this auditorium. Could be told about a certain teenager coming to one of our teen meetings. Could be told about a certain person over in the shepherd's department or in our master clubs. Could be a Wednesday night. A certain person showed up on a Wednesday night. Who are these people? A certain person, a certain lame man. Who is this? Well, it's the fella that just got laid off. That's who it is. It's a lady that just found out that she has cancer. That's who it is. It's this certain person. It's a teenager who they have covered up the scars because last week they took a razor blade and they cut themselves in several spots. It's a lady who got beat up by somebody who once said that they loved them. Who is this certain person? Well, it's a man whose life has been totally ruined because of the drugs that they started taking when they were very, very young. It's the couple whose marriage is about to fall apart. It's the person who is an alcoholic. It's the person who just found out from the doctor that their lungs are totally gone because of years of smoking or because of years in the factory. It's a certain person that has a problem. It's a certain person that has a problem that only God can fix. I'm so amazed at how we turn all kinds of directions to get our problems taken care of. And then I'm also amazed at how we'll hold up our tin cup. And if I could just hear the clanking of some change in that tin cup and not realize what he can really do. Maybe you're that certain person today. Maybe you came today with your tin cup out and say, you know, I just hope I can get some alms today. If I can just get some bits and pieces, or like the one lady, if I can just get the crumbs off the table. But God has something bigger for you. Oh, certain person. Father, thank you for the fact that at the age of 17, I was that certain person. And I had a lot of problems. I thank you so much for taking care of my biggest problem, and that was that I was lost and on my way to hell, and you saved my soul and gave me eternal life, and you gave me a new life. And I pray that you will help each of us today to analyze our own lives, to know that we can be that. We're that certain person. We have a need. We have something that, God, we want you to take care of. And God, help us to understand that, yes, you'll fill that cup, but you can do greater things. Please, save those who are lost. Help those who are not right with you to get right. And may we leave here with something today, I pray, that'll help us, that'll change our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is, it's a long story, and I'm not going to preach the whole thing. We'll actually continue with chapter 4 tonight. And because this is some of the early church excitement, I've preached through the book of Acts several times, and it is exciting. It wears me out. It's just excitement after excitement. It is the way it's supposed to be. We serve a God that's alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, whatever men, doesn't matter what they say, we know He's alive. We know He's working. We know He's working in people's lives. And so this story is this certain man. It could be a certain anybody. It could be a certain person. It could be anyone. And yet we have this story, and I will continue with chapter 4 tonight and talking about the early church and the excitement, obviously, that was going on because of God's power, not because of anything men do, but because of God's power. And I've got news for you, folks. It's the same God. The same God here in Acts chapter 3. It's the same God that we serve today. It's the same God that we call upon today. And it's the same power. It was not more powerful in that day. Same power. God never changes. His power has always been. It always will be. Same power. But I got news for you. It's also the same plan. I mean, honestly, it's the same God. It's the same power. It's the same plan. Hey, why not now? You know, the saddest thing about it, we have this man who was carried to his place because he was lame. He could not walk. And we have this man who held out his tin cup. But Brother Korea, I'm just kind of concerned that somebody didn't say to him, hey, why in the world are you going to settle for alms when you have a God that can do anything? And it's sad. We come to church on a Sunday and we have out our tin cup. Well, I just hope God will make me smile. I just hope God will, you know, He'll make me feel good by the end of the service. Well, the way I preach, you don't always feel too good. But I'm just, because I don't always feel too good. But we hold out our little tin cup, and God wants to do something great with our lives, and we settle for, oh, I just heard the clank of a penny, and God's got millions that He wants to give us. A certain lame man, day after day, this lame man, week after week, this certain lame man. Sunday morning, Sunday night perhaps, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, this certain lame man, same people perhaps, picked him up, carried him to that spot in front of the temple, carried him there with maybe his little tin cup, as I keep saying, or whatever receptacle it might have been. And as people came into the temple, this certain lame man would say, could you help me out? Alms, alms for the poor. Could you provide something? And sure enough, just like so many do, you know, they would reach in their front pocket, grab out some change and maybe throw it in the cup or maybe the little box that he might have had. And day after day and week after week, there at the temple, hey, people expect something at the temple. They expect something to happen. I got news for you. The world isn't going to expect it if we don't expect it. And week after week and day after day, this man came to the place there in front of the temple. And the people laid him down there at the gate. And spiritual people walked in and they walked out. And this man, day after day, week after week, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. A certain lame man. Folks, God is still in the miracle-working, soul-saving, life-changing business. I want you to consider some things this morning. Number one is the place. The place. In verse 1, the Bible says it's the temple. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple. You know, that's where they ought to be going. Amen? That's where they ought to be. They ought to be going into the temple. They ought to be going into a spiritual place. And it says they go in there at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and there they are. They're going into the temple. And just like a church service, just like a time that we have today, just like our regular church service. You know, they're going in and it's like clockwork. That's when they're supposed to be there. Here's Peter. But they don't know what God's about ready to do. But I got news for you. They weren't like us and watching their watch all the time. I'm sorry, their, what are those things called? Their sundial on their wrist. They weren't watching that all the time, worried about when to get out. Hey, they came to get something while they were in, and so they didn't want to leave till something happened. I mean, they're looking for God to do something. We come kind of saying, well, boy, I hope preacher doesn't preach too long. I hope it's not, you know, I hope that the heat or the air conditioner is working the way it's supposed to. I you know, and we're thinking about all kinds of things except what in the world's God going to do? Wonder what God's going to do today. That's how we ought to come to church. We ought to be wondering, wonder what God's going to do today. We ought to look around and we ought to kind of understand there's certain people all over the place, a certain person, a certain woman, a certain man, a certain child, a certain teenager. We ought to wonder over there, there's a certain shepherd that needs something from God today. We ought to think about over there in junior church, there's a certain child. Last night, he had a terrible night. Parents were drunk or whatever may have happened. Or there's a certain child over there who parents just got a divorce and he's concerned, he's worried about that. And there's a certain child over there that's going through some hard times in their life, and a certain child that God is going to change their life today. We ought to be excited about that. I think Peter and John were excited. They had no idea what God was going to do. I believe they thought God was going to do something, though. Yeah, I'm amazed at all the people that said, well, God's just not doing anything today. No, you're just not looking for God to do anything. God always does things by faith. What do you think God might do? Amen. Amen. And there they are. They're at the temple when they're supposed to be. By the way, God probably isn't going to do anything when you keep missing church all the time. Anyway, it's a whole other message. Don't have time. Verse 2, notice where they are. They're at the gate of the temple. The gate of the temple. They lay him there. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily. Every day, they lay him there at the gate of the temple. Why? So that he can ask for alms. Every day, there he is. Every day, he's out there. Alms! Alms for the poor, alms for the poor, right? Day in, day out, all the time. He had a money need, a money need. You know, it's kind of a funny thing to me as I think about our church, you know, the place really the least likely to get money. Now, the world doesn't think that, you know, those church, they have lots of money. Well, they ought to see our accounts, right? You say, why don't we have, well, we spend it, amen? Buses aren't cheap. Fuel's not cheap. Insurance isn't cheap. Amen. We try to use it as best we can. But it seems like the least likely place. And yet, you know, they. By the way, we have weekly calls for help. People call us all the time. I mean, we're on the list. Amen. We are. I mean, you know, my rent's not paid. You know, and first thing I say is, why? Well, you're not supposed to ask that. Well, that's why I do ask that, you know, weekly. I mean, it happens all the time. I remember one time a fella had a prescription, and he needed his prescription. And he said, could you give me $25 to get my, this was years ago, it was like 12 years ago. He said, so I know, you know, if you're here, nobody knows it's you. Anyway, I don't even know it's you because I don't remember who it was. But anyway, this guy needed a prescription. And, oh, if I don't have this, you know, I'm going to die. I've got to have my prescription. Well, you know, obviously, could you just give me $25? I said, no, I'm not going to give you $25. He said, well, I got to have my prescription. I said, well, I will go get your prescription for you. Now, you know, I was young. Well, really, I wasn't that young. I hadn't been young in a long time. Okay, I was stupid. Anyway, I went and got the prescription. Do you remember this? And went and got the and there I am with this bag delivering this prescription to this guy's house. And that was maybe not the smartest. But anyway, you know, we try to help people. We've tried to help. Yeah, we've gotten where we have enough church people that need our help that we don't have money to help other folks very much. I mean, it's pretty tough. So typically I tell somebody, they'll say, oh, you know, we're about to lose everything. We're in desperate straits. I say, I'll tell you what, come to church Sunday morning and I'll try to see what I can do. Oh, I can't do that. I don't get up that early. Okay. Anyway, so again, you know, there is a place where needs can be met. And a lot of people still, now I realize there's generations of people that don't even think about the church. We've got generations of people that have no respect at all for the church. It means nothing to them. Are you listening? I mean, seriously, we have young people. They run on our property. They do things on our. They don't say anything about it. I mean, to me, here's what I think. I think, hey, we'd like to play on your playground, Pastor Roger. Would it be okay if we play on the church's playground? Well, of course, as long as you do right and everything. I don't even do that anymore. We have profanity written on our playground. Things out there, the slides, they'll write inside that. We've had all kinds. This last week, we had young people come in, and they got on the buses and used the fire extinguishers all over the seats and just messed up all kinds of stuff. And it's just such a different world. But deep down, with a lot of people, they know I can go to the church and get help. And by the way, they can get help. There is absolutely no question about that. It's a place where needs are met because we have a God that can do anything. Okay, we don't have a budget that can do anything, but we have a God that can do anything. We don't have an account that can do anything, but we have a God that can do anything. And so here he is. He's there. It's again, to me, it seems like the place least likely. I mean, we rely on tithes and offerings and people's giving and all that, but it's a place where needs are met. I cannot tell you how many needs are met at Berean Baptist Church any given week, just one right after the other. I watch God do great things. It's like the choir just saying, my quiet time alone. We talk to God, and God meets needs. God does amazing things. There's folks all over this room. God did some amazing things for you just this week. Praise the Lord. And the place is so important here that you know, here is, and here's our word. Boy, it sure is lucky he chose that day and that place, because there's Peter and John. Luck has get it out of your vocabulary. Get it out of your dictionary. It does not exist. God had everything all set up for this fella. And this certain lame man. And he's in the right place. He's there at the right time. And, you know, it's a place where God's promises are proclaimed week after week after week after week. And who knows, you know? People hear and they find out, hey, that place, they really believe there's a God. Hey, those folks, they really believe God can do anything. Now, they may laugh at times, but when they're in trouble, wait a minute, there is a place. There is somewhere that still believes God can do anything. Amen. Hey, would they get that from you? Christian, would they get that from your life? Would they get that from your lifestyle? Would they get that as they've observed you at work? Would your neighbors get that? Would your family get that observing you? Would they get that there's still a God on the throne that can do anything? Just a challenge, something to think about. They realized, and I believe this with all my heart, whoever brought this lame man here, they had hope. Now, I only question their hope. I only question his hope. Because they were just hoping to get some change. To rattle that cup. And to be able to pay off the next meal, maybe the next night, the next day. They just were hoping for that. Again, there should be hope here. Amen. There should be. It should be when people drive by. You know what? Those people really believe it. They really believe it. That's how it should be. Amen. There should be a place where there's hope. Number one, the place. Number two is the problem. This fellow's lame. Verse 2, it says, a certain man lame, not only lame, but he's lame from his mother's womb. As a little baby, he couldn't walk. He never could walk. He never, other little children were in the nursery and they all started crawling and everything. And finally they got up. Well, this man never was able to walk. Lame from his mother's womb. And that means, and when we talk about the problem, he obviously could not work, he couldn't get a job, and therefore he needed money. And he accepted the fact that he was lame, which obviously when we have problems in that, sometimes we do have to accept the fact of that problem. And yet, as a Christian, there's still a God. And it kind of bothers me that he was resigned to simply ask for alms when that wasn't his real problem. What do you mean? I mean, he had to pay for whatever he had. He had to buy food. He had to buy, pay for his place to live. He had things that he had to do. I mean, come on, preacher, that just makes sense. But that wasn't his real problem. What was his real problem? He was lame. I thought I'd go to church and I thought that I could call on God to give me some change in my little cup. Yeah. Why not call for God to strengthen your ankle bones so you can walk? Oh. He was resigned to ask alms. His real problem wasn't a money problem. His real problem was an ankle and foot problem. Amen. Oh, how many come for a temporary fix? You know what? The reason he went day by day and every day and day after day and week after week and everything else, the reason that he did that, you know why? Because it was just a temporary fix. How many, I got to make it Sunday morning. And you get your temporary fix. You almost sound like a drug addict. I got to get my temporary fix to get through the next week. You know, God has a whole better plan than that. He's got a lot better life. He said, I'm come to give life, but to give it more abundantly. Day after day, this man came for his temporary fix. And he came to a place where there's a God who is able to do so much more. I've watched people over the years as a pastor. I've watched them come on Sunday morning limping in with their little cup out. If I can just make it through this morning. Oh, you know, whatever the problem. There are so many problems. We're born for trouble, the Bible says, as the sparks fly upward. So there's trouble all over this room today. And maybe you came and you brought that little cup and you said, and Sunday after Sunday, you know, we just show up with our little cup there. Hey, God has something that he'll do for you that will not be a temporary fix. God has a permanent fix for us. Because he's God. He's able to do so much more. So much more. It happens like this. A couple who's having marriage problems, they'll come for counsel, and they want a quick fix. It happens all the time. What do we do? And they think, somehow, I'm going to give them one thing. Just one little thing. Oh, this is going to fix it all. Oh, wow, we're fixed. No, you're not. And usually it goes like this. Well, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. And the wife says, yes! Yes! Get him! And they think that's it. Well, ma'am, hold on now. The Bible says you're to submit to him. And the man says, yes! Yes! Get her! And it's like, okay, you know, this is not a quick fix thing. You know, I've had people, they've been married 20 years, and well, we're having problems, you know, and I'm not surprised people have problems, but the fact of the matter is, there isn't any quick fix for 20 years of problems. There's no quick fix for a newlywed couple. There's a God in heaven that has to be in the center. Amen. That's the fix right there. You know, folks come in discouraged and they want to feel good. I'm sorry. You know, there's churches all over America that have become feel-good places. Don't get me wrong now, but I'm not offering you Tylenol. I'm not, listen, we're not here to say to you, hey, we've got some Advil for you. It'll help you feel good till the 12 hours are over. I'm not offering that today. I'm not excited. I'm not interested in a quick fix. I'm not trying to help you to feel good today. I want you to realize how much you need God. And I want you to understand that when you walk with God and you have a relationship with God, you can have joy whether you feel good or not. Whether it's raining, snowing, cold, hot, doesn't matter. You can have joy no matter what. But we'll walk out, and so many will today, settling for alms. Wasn't the reverend's message good? You may even tell me, shake hands, well, that was so good, reverend. And you heard the little cup rattle, right? I feel so good. And then you get back in your car, drive away, and all that bad's back. The problem wasn't the problem. He needed money, but he needed to walk more than that. How many walk out with a temporary fix, but you could have had a miracle? Number one's the place. Number two, the problem. Number three is the plea. So what's he do? Verse three, who's seeing Peter and John? Now, he didn't know who they were, as far as we know. But he sees Peter and John, and he might have looked. He said, hey, these are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preachers. They probably have money. I don't know where people get that. I really don't. It's amazing to me. You know, looks can be deceiving. It's kind of like my wife yesterday, I think it was. We were talking about a doctor, and she said, oh, she said, that doctor. She said, yeah, he's old. I said, really? She said, yeah, it's okay. He's old. He's old man. I said, oh, okay. Well, I said, how do you know he's old? She said, well, he had white hair. Anyway, so number three is the plea. Notice verse three. They saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. I don't know, maybe they pulled up in a Lincoln Continental chariot. I don't know. But they go into the temple, and what's he do? He says, alms? Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. And Peter and John, you know, there they are. And maybe they're like us. They reached in and there was nothing. Right? Maybe they. And the lame man, he said, I hear that. And they said, that's my keys. that's all that's in there. It's my keys. Don't get too excited. I don't know. I just know this. He asked for alms. Here's Peter and John. Peter and John. Boy, if he'd have just known who they are. But that isn't even the key, folks. It's not knowing who they are. It's knowing who he is. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's Peter and John. Wow! You know, maybe he did know. Maybe, wow, it's Peter and John. Hey, they got money. People expect something from the church. They do. They do. We get calls all the time. Hey, you can bail me out of this. How much you owe? $10,000. That's always so funny, you know. They expect something. And so he saw Peter and John going in, and maybe I think about this fellow, and I've been thinking a lot about him, and maybe when he was a child, maybe he was in the nursery, you know, and he was in the nursery, and he grew up there, and all the other kids, he starts to notice as he's growing up, he notices everybody's walking but him. And maybe as a child, he fell on his knees. He said, oh, God, I'd like to walk like all the other children. I want to run. I want to play basketball. I want to play soccer. I want to play football. I want to be able to run. I want to do what everybody else is doing. And maybe when he was a child, he begged for God to heal him. Can I mention something to you, folks? God is not on our timetable. God has his own timetable. He knows what he's doing. And maybe as he grew older, you know, he just became disillusioned. He said, you know, God's not going to take care of this problem, so I'm just going to quit. I'm not even going to go to God. I'm not going to ask anymore. And so he got to a place where he would just ask people for an alms. He just asked people to put some money in his little cup. I don't know. I hear it all the time. Pastor, could you pay our rent for us? Could you give us some rent money? Pastor, could you give us some money for our electric bill? And, you know, all those things are temporary. I don't know how many electric bills. I've paid it several times. I'm thinking of somebody turned on electricity several times. Temporary. Are you all listening? I feel lonely. But just everything temporary. Why don't you ask big? Okay? Mr. Lame Person, why don't you ask God for something big? Oh, the teen girl says, if I could just get rid of these feelings, you know, I want to feel better. I just want to feel better because somebody did something wrong to her years and years ago. Hey, why don't you get, instead of just feeling good, how about getting rid of bitter? How about letting God heal that thing? Amen. Well, if I just find some people that'll love me, oh, that's good, that's wonderful. And you know what? You ought to be able to come to church and find people that love you, no matter what you are, what you've done, where you've been, who you are. I need to hear an amen. I don't care who walks in the doors. We need to love them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they are, who they are. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter. We need to love them with His love. Amen. And you ought to be able to come and get that. But I got news for you. That isn't what you need. You need Him. You need Him to take away something that's here. You need Him, if you're not saved, you need Him to save your soul and give you forgiveness so that you can give somebody else forgiveness. You're not going to, hey, some of these things, you're not going to just snap your fingers and it be over with. But He can make it all good. Amen. We come wanting something temporary. And my Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. And maybe you felt like God let you down when you were a teenager. I remember as a young boy, and I wasn't saved and I didn't go to church, but I remember getting mad at God when my parents got a divorce. I remember getting mad. I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about God. I just said, how can you let this happen? As I wept. And it hurt me. Oh, I'm so glad for the day that Jesus took the anger and the bitterness out of my heart toward my parents. I'm convinced to this day, Brother Barnum, that if I hadn't let go of that and God removed that, I don't think my parents ever would have got saved, because I sure couldn't help them. Folks, listen to me. We need to start asking big. And here's this certain person. Number one, he was in the right place. Number two, he had a problem. Number three is his plea. But number four, we see the potential. I love verse four. Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John. Don't you like that? He fastened his eyes. You know what that means to me? He didn't brush him off. He fastened his eyes. You ever had somebody ask you for money? You know, ain't got none. You know, we walk away. We've all done it. Don't look so pious at me. We've all done it. Could you spare some money? Or there they stand at the intersection. They're holding up their sign, need food. Now, we all know that some of them, that's how they make a living. Right? And some of them are doing pretty well. But we just kind of turn away, kind of ignore it and everything. That's not what happened here. Peter and John, they fastened their eyes on him. I love that. Why? You know, Peter knew what was not in his wallet. He knew what was not in his front pocket. He knew that he had no silver or gold. You say, how do you know? Verse 6, he says so. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He knew that. He knew he couldn't write a check. He knew his debit card was maxed out. He had nothing. He knew that financially. And yet he fastened his eyes on him. Alms! Alms for the poor! I mean, seriously, when you have nothing, or when the only thing you have you don't want to give, right? Well, I'll give the biggest bill. You quit saying that when the last one was a 20, remember? Did it in church one time. I don't even bring my wallet to church. So, yeah, right? Amen. Smile. It's okay. But anyway, so here, you know, here's Peter and alms for the poor. Peter already knew he had no money and he fastened his eyes on. You know why? Because Peter knew. He knew the one that has everything. Isn't that good? You could look people in the eyes when you know the one who can meet all their needs. You don't have to shy away. You don't have to turn away. You don't have to be uncomfortable with them when you know the one who can do it all. Because Peter saw the potential with this man who was begging for alms. Whatever brings people here, whatever brings people across your path, whatever brings people to say, don't you go to Berean Baptist Church, or don't you go to church somewhere? Didn't I hear you say you're a Christian? Whatever it is that causes that certain person to come into your turf. Do you ever stop and look real hard at them and imagine what God could do? Oh, preacher, it's a drunk. Yeah. yeah, this room's full of people that used to be drunks. Oh, man, this guy's a drug addict. He's got more problems. Yeah, and the room's full of people that used to be drug addicts. Amen. Are you listening? Oh, yeah, but these people have problems. I mean, their marriage is a mess. Yeah, I counseled a couple one time. She, as they're talking, everything's real quiet. She takes her purse and goes, whack, right upside his head. No, it wasn't last week. Everybody's looking for the bruise on the guy's face. No. You know, it's like you ever just look at him and think, I could see them teaching Sunday school someday. I could see them running a bus someday. I could see them driving. I could see them in at the altar at our church. I could see them in the baptistry. I could see them doing something for God. I could see their life change. I could see their marriage. By the way, that gal that slugged that dude in the head with her purse, they are married to this day and happy as ducks in a pond. And the bruise went away. I'm serious. You know, understand, Peter saw past the alms the guy was asking for, and he saw that God can do anything. Maybe Peter saw past the alms, and he looked down at the guy's legs that had never walked, and Peter thought, he's about to be pretty excited. I got something better than alms. It's kind of like really believing that our God is a life changer, because it's been so long ago since your life was. It's like when you see that bus kid, and I've got some that I'm really keeping an eye on, that they're up here, and I'm thinking of one right now that has just caused all kinds of chaos. But I see that little person someday, maybe up on this platform. Not as a bad illustration, but serving the Lord. Yeah. Hey, you know, the drunk, they come and they just want that little cup filled. That guy just got out of jail. He just wants a room to stay in. That homeless person, they come and they just want a meal. That's a start. But if we might fasten our eyes on them, we might be able to see what they could do. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye, what we see. We like to look away. Oh, man, I don't want to deal with this. Yeah, I know. We have a God that can fix everything. And what did they say? Verse 4, look on us. Now, he's got the cup out. He's wanting to hear some clanging in there real soon. I mean, he's you know, they actually paid it. Can you imagine how many folks walked by and totally ignored him? The Bible says, later on, it says everybody knew who he was. Can you imagine that? Oh, there's that guy again. Oh, brother. Always wanting money. Mm. And so we come to number 5, and that's the possibility. You see, Peter saw the potential. Now, verse 5, the lame man sees a possibility. Verse 5, it says, he gave heed unto them. What do you mean? He looked at them, expecting to receive something of them. I can imagine it in my mind anyway. He is holding out that cup. He's expecting to receive something, right? Oh, listen, folks, the world doesn't know what they need. They don't know. They hold out their little cup for whatever they might get in it. They don't know what they really need. And they don't know what God can really do. They do not, and so many churches and so many Christians today don't know what's possible. That's why we just come to church. And we throw some change in somebody's cup rather than be used to watch God change somebody's life. Possibility with God, it's endless. With God, all things are possible, the Bible says. All things are possible. That means the home that's a wreck, it doesn't have to be a wreck. That means the parents that they feel like their child is a mess and their life is ruined, it doesn't have to be like that. It means that the guy that just lost his job, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. That means that the woman that was beaten by her husband last night, what a wicked thing to do. But that woman doesn't have to have a life that is miserable. I'm just saying. The possibility is endless with God. And whatever your situation is here today, I would urge you to know that God can do anything. And so he says in verse 6, and I love this, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I can just see the lame man. I can see his countenance change, Brother Tim, when Peter said that. I can see him. They said, "Look at us." And then silver and gold have I none. And I can just see him go. Can you see it? But Peter said this, "Such as I have." Well, what do you have if you don't have silver and gold? "Such as I have." You know, Jesus said that to a woman at the well. She said, could I have a drink? And Jesus said, well, he said, I could give you some water out of the well. But he said, I've got some water that'll never, never, never cease. I've got living water that I'll give to you. Peter said, "Such as I have." Amen. Somebody said, well, if I could just have a sandwich. Oh, well, Jesus says, I don't have a sandwich, but he said, you know what? He said, I am the bread of life. "Such as I have." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly." What's the possibility? The possibility. Peter says, I don't have any silver, don't have any gold. But what I do have, what I have, give I thee. Hey, do the folks at work know that you have something? Or do they just hold out that cup? Has anything happened in your life? Has there been anything wonderful, anything miraculous? Brother Bell, I got stuff happening all the time where God's doing great things. I got such a blessing today. I almost shouted. Almost. I just didn't want to lose my voice because I wanted to sing the choir special. But we needed $100. To raise our $3,250 in 2 weeks. Well, 2.5, 3 weeks. We needed that. And we were $100 short. And in my Sunday school class, somebody said, well, I'll give that. Amen. I mean, that is such a thrilling thing. Because honestly, there just isn't a whole lot of money. Go look at the cars out in the parking lot. Baptist Church, you just look at the parking lot, you have a pretty good idea of what we are. Amen. Not that your cars are bad, but there are quite a few Fords out there. So. But anyway, geez, I'm just about done. So I'm trying to get you to smile before we leave so you'll feel good and you'll hear the little clanging of the tin. Oh, the reverend is such a nice man. I got you fooled. But the possibility, what could really happen in a person's life? Well, number 6, we see the power. And that's what it's all about, folks. Because Peter said, I don't have any silver, don't have any gold, but he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And that old boy, you got to figure that he's wanting to hear his little tin cup rattle. And he's told to get up. And I love what the Bible says, because Peter didn't just leave him there. He took him by the right hand. You know, when you really want to help somebody, you might just say, I'll go up and pray with you. You might just maybe leave your little comfort zone and go to somebody who's weeping in the service and say, hey, I'd be glad to pray with you. Amen. I don't know what he would have done if Peter didn't take him by the hand and lift him, because he's never walked. Never. And the Bible says, when Peter took him and lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And you know what the Bible says in verse 8? Never done it before. He didn't know what how it was. He'd seen others do it. The Bible says, and he, leaping up, stood. Some of you don't think that's very dignified. But I promise you, if God did that for you, you'd leap. Amen? That's quite a shake. It's a lot of weight up here. Well, there went the glasses. Amen. Somebody said the other day, Pastor, Sunday morning you were running in church while I was preaching. I don't know. I don't remember that, but I know I was tired. Verse 8, he leaping up stood and walked. He'd never walked, folks. His mom, his dad, they didn't know what it was to video him taking his first steps. They didn't know what that was. They never got to call out to all the relatives, hey, look, he's walking. They never got to do that. But on that day, the man that begged for an alms, he walked. But he didn't just walk. He leaped and he ran and he took off. And that's the power of our God. We can help the tin cups to rattle, and we help people all the time, but let's not forget the power of God. That is a power that will keep them from ever needing that tin cup again. I don't want you to come to church for a Band-Aid. I want you to come to church for God to take care of the wound, to heal it, and to get rid of the scar. Amen. Because only God can do that. I'm so afraid that we've forgotten the power of God. Yes, this man would be affected by an alms, but his life was changed by God Almighty. All of our ministries, everything we do, you know, all of our ministries, we give and we give and we give and we give. And praise the Lord for that. Vacation Bible School, you know, we give. We buy the most quality gifts. It's amazing. We go all the way to China with some of our getting some of our materials. Isn't that wonderful? But I got news for you. The greatest thing that we have to offer is the power of God Almighty in a little child's life that's never heard anybody say, I love you. You say, preacher, it's not possible. It's right here in Adrian, Michigan. Little children that get beat up, little children that get cursed, little kids, little teenagers, young people, all they hear out of their parents is, you're worthless, you're no good, I wish I hadn't had you. And they come to church and some teacher says, I love you. Some bus captain says, I love you. Some bunch of crazy people get up on a platform and dress up and goof off and do all that just to teach them that God can change their lives. But it's God's power. Number one, we saw the place. Two, the problem. Three, the plea. Four, the potential. Five, the possibility. Six, the power. And the last thing, number seven, is the praise. This old boy is happy. I'm telling you, he leaping up stood and he walked and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And can you see him? Man, he must have got a good offering. He got something better than that. He's walking. He's running. I mean, can you imagine? And they knew, it says in verse 10, they knew that it was he which sat for alms. They'd seen him day after day after day after day after day after day. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Boy, he had long arms. Amen. I can see him. He's so excited. You say, well, I think we ought to be more dignified. You know what? If you'd really realize what all God did for you, you probably wouldn't want to be so dignified. You say, well, I just don't understand why the pastor has to jump up and down, get all excited and sweat while he's preaching and all those kind of, well, I haven't forgotten what he did. You know why I didn't forget? Because he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He did it last week. He did it today. He just keeps doing it. And I'm excited about it just like this fella. I think he took his cup and threw it. Well, that's not very reverent. His leaping around wasn't too reverent either, amen? I don't think you ought to swing from the chandeliers because I don't think they'd hold you. My Bible says immediately his feet, when God does something, he does it immediately. God doesn't mess around. And listen to me, his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and praise God, this man was healed. And he praised the Lord for it. That's what we need. I'm not talking about this weird kind of stuff where we're just all feeling good. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about getting in some kind of weirdo trance or something like that. I'm not even talking about running around the building unless you just have to. It's muddy. Don't come back in. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about just praising God. I'm talking about coming to church and smiling because God can do anything. I'm talking about looking at everybody knowing God can help you. God can help you. Whatever your problem, you're a senior in high school. You got all kinds of junk going on. Good night. I mean, there's what am I going to do? Who am I going to marry? And he's thinking, you're not. And you're thinking, oh, yes, I am. And we got all that stuff. And you know what? God has it all figured out. And Sarah, God's got it all figured out for you to get back to New Guinea. I said, Sarah, aren't you glad to be home? She said, well, I'd rather be home. Amen. Isn't that good? Are you all listening? Well, God's got that all figured out. He's got it all taken care of. And it may look impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Put away your tin cup and start asking God to do what only God can do. I promise you, it'll change your life. It'll change your church service. It'll change what you do when you come here. It'll change how you look at everybody else. He's a real God. And he's doing great things. He will with your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.